Welcome to AI Today. I'm your host, Dr. Alan Bedeau, and this week we're going to have some fun. We've seen in the news, you know, you've seen pretty much everywhere, you know, online where, you know, they're talking about the releases of these new models, right? It seems like it's happening more frequently, a little bit of a race maybe, but, you know, the newest versions of, you know, ChatGPT and GPT-5 have been out for a little while. Claude 4.5 with Sonnet just came out. And so there's some exciting things that are taking place. But as people have used it, I think they've gotten a little bit confused on what some of the best ways to use them are, what they actually can do. Why is it taking so long to do it? I feel like my answers aren't, you know, that it's providing are not as good. You know, there are some reasons behind that. So, you know, if you look at the top players, we know that, you know, pretty much Claude and you know, ChatGPT, GPT-5 are really those top tier, you know, AI models. We see some other ones out there, you know, every once in a while. And, you know, especially on Hugging Face and some of those other places where, you know, there's maybe some variants, maybe some bigger models, maybe some other ones that are doing it that may have a little bit, you know, of different strengths, different training material. But, you know, I've told you all along, as we have continued to play with these models, that, you know, they're going to be good at some things. They're not going to be quite as good at other things. And then there are going to be days that you feel like it's not good at anything. And, you know, those are some of the things that we have to take into consideration. And so these bigger models have really just, you know, because they've got so much more information, then, you know, your prompting has to evolve with that. That really is the bottom line. And we're gonna explore some of that today. We're gonna do like we normally do. We're gonna pull up the newest versions. We're gonna play with them. I'm gonna show you what some of the unique things are that they're really good at doing. And, you know, we'll do a live comparison. And I'll even use, you know, my tool that, you know, the Prompt Playground to be able to help folks think about this and think through some of these things and look at ways that you can continue to optimize those prompts so you can get the most out of them as you possibly can. You know, let's start with Claude 4.5 and specifically with Sonnet. So, you know, it has been optimized really for, you know, stability, longer running tasks, and really more, you know, consistent types of workflows being able to use it for. That's what makes it so powerful with coding, you know, as well, because it does a very good job at, you know, being able to think through those tasks that have to do, break things down, and provide you a pretty good answer. However, you know, like before, there's some things that will creep out that we'll explore that can cause, you know, some issues. With GPT-5, it was really, you know, they were working to really unify a bunch of models. And I think they've done a pretty good job with that, really. And the performance of them have been pretty good. And, you know, I want you all to think, though, again, we consistently are having these discussions that not all of those models are the same, and their performance aren't the same. So your expectations cannot be the same. As you're looking at peak performance and what GPT-5 can do, it's really trying to do, you know, complex, heavy reasoning type of tasks, multimodal types of things, and look at that architecture as it is trying to adapt based on context, based on demand, and then based on, you know, some other features, you know, how much data you have, those kind of things. And as you are looking at which one to use, like I've always told you, go back and forth, because you're going to get different answers, and especially with these models, because, you know, we are seeing some differences that are fairly significant in the answers that we're getting. and it's just from the same model, and it may be just from a prompt. You know, so I'm going to go over some real basic things real fast with GPT-5 so folks can understand that, and then we'll do the same thing with Claude. But, you know, I'm not talking about the benchmarking. Let me give you guys some advice about that too. You know, you see that, oh, this new model is the fastest at something. Oh, this new model can do math. You know, this new one can do something else. Don't think that that makes a huge difference. From our perspectives, you know, especially the folks that are watching this show consistently, and granted, thank you for that, right? But there are things that, you know, these companies are doing to really boost it. Think about cramming for an exam. That's what they're doing with these models. They're just trying to, you know, to hit certain thresholds and optimize it based on that so they can, you know, make that stake. But that has no impact necessarily on how well it's going to perform for you. So that's what we're going to focus on. We're going to focus on how these models are going to perform for you and the things that we're doing every day, which is not the benchmark piece, okay? You know, and so let's start with some basics around GPT-5, what they have. They've got the standard, right? And by standard, we're talking about, you know, it's fast, it's consistent, you know, it's gives you reasonably good responses. Things that we're used to seeing from ChatGPT, instant answers almost. They started to switch that when they had, Pro and some other features out there. But now, as I said, they're standardizing on these. And, you know, you've got the default model. And that's, you know, if you think about it, it's really good for things like customer support, maybe giving you a summary of a book or, you know, an article that you had it ingest and read back to you. And it can do some basic coding, you know, really around use case examples for test cases, for user experience type of, you know, scenarios. Pretty good for something like that. And it's quick. It's really fast. When you go into thinking mode, GPT-5 thinking mode, you're talking about it allocating more resources to do multi-step type reasoning, really, really what you would call complex problem solving. It's trying to break down the different things that it is exploring, trying to answer, trying to give you a good, a good answer back. But again, its response is starting to get slower. Takes around 10 to 40 to 50 seconds in some cases to get a decent response, you know, and it will show you, though, that there's a significant improvement in the accuracy over the standard default model, which makes sense, right? Because it's supposed to be reasoning, it's supposed to be doing more, and that's exactly what we would hope that it would do. Then we start getting into, you know, the pro model. And that really is the highest capacity for it to perform some action around reasoning. It's looking at, it's using, you know, parallel processing and compute and trying to figure out what some of those enterprise grade problems are and solve those. And, you know, that's where, depending on what you're doing, if you're trying to form a business plan, there's nothing wrong with going to the pro model and asking it and deep diving with it and getting a lot of information from it because it does a great job. But it's also significantly more expensive. It's more resource intensive. And it, of course, is going to be slower. But then we've got, you know, we've got the mini and the nano are still there. And those are really around, you know, faster, again, more cost effective, you know, specialties, you know, low latency requirements, really around, you know, some basic reasoning and those kind of things. And it's very lightweight. So if you're going to use it for as an API into an app, that's great. But again, we have to continue to be careful with that. Now, I'm not going to get into the architecture. All right, we're not going to talk about, you know, some of those basic pieces. But what really is happening is you know, you can get more a better answer out of Pro because, you know, fundamentally your context, remember we talk about your context and your windows and stuff, it's it can hold more. Now, the standard and thinking model are pretty good, though. I mean, they're both at 400,000, and you know, you can get an awful lot into that. The Pro is at 400, but then there's certain things with the APIs that you can use if you're part of that plan. So there's a lot of good things that that you can use it for. But again, you don't want to use it for all the same things. In some cases, you want to use something, you know, a little bit faster. Other cases, you want to use something that's a little bit more reasoning, more smart around that. And really just depends on what you're trying to do. Now, we're going to compare that with the newest one for, you know, Claude, which is 4.5. And there's some great things that that one does also, right? You know, it's got one mode where you can get a million tokens in that. That's impressive, but it's very expensive. Very expensive. It's about two and a half to three times more expensive than if you're using the normal model for that. But it does a great job with coding, does a great job with some reasoning, and it does a really good job with taking things that you ask it to do, like create PowerPoints or create presentations or create things online, or, you know, act like a designer and show me something. Does a great job when it comes to that. But again, it's got some pitfalls, because they all do, right? You know, reasoning, consistency, Claude pretty well, especially on the coding side, which is allows you to do some predictions around that. GPT-5, pretty well, pretty good, but it really just, you know, depends on, you know, not only the mode that you choose, but how good you are prompting, okay? You have to be much more specific with GPT-5 than you have to be with Claude 4.5. But, you know, there's some good points and bad points about that, and we'll look at those here in a few minutes. But again, you know, it just continues to look at context, and it looks at your window size and how much that's going to cost. And when you start putting all of these things together, you know, you have to look at, again, what you are trying to build, what you're trying to do, and what strengths you want to exploit from each one of those that are going to get you further down the line. You know, if, you know, you want something that is more adaptable, I would say, for different types of reasoning and different types of problems, then GPT-5 in the Pro version is the one that you most likely would want to use. However, you want to check the answer maybe with Claude 4.5. Nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with that at all, because that does a great job at, you know, looking at numbers, at double checking, you know, somebody else's work, at looking at science and technology. Does a great job when it comes to things like that. And so, again, even there's still bits and pieces of, you know, both models that you want to take advantage of. Now, from a weakness perspective, we're going to show some of those here in a minute. So I'm not going to talk about too much about that. But again, as we come back from the commercial break, I want you to think about how you can use these things. Do you need to use them? And what sort of prompts are going to help you really exploit both of those so you can advance whatever you're trying to do? So stay with us. We'll be right back after a few messages from our sponsors. New models from Claude and from you know, OpenAI, and some of the differences and the nuances between them. But in this case, it's a little bit more complicated than that, because, you know, I've gotten so many emails over the last week, you know, week and a half, that, you know, the prompts that I used before are not performing as well. The things that, you know, we learned before are not doing quite as well. And so I figured perfect time for us to do a little bit of a deep dive into how, you know, you have to change your prompts, and, you know, really how you have to, again, continue to learn the nuances of these models and how they behave and how you interact with them, because it's different every single time. Okay. You can't treat the old models the same way that you treat the new models. You've got to adapt. because the models themselves have been trained different. They have a larger window, meaning they can hold more information. And so you've got to make sure that as you are asking it to do things, as you're deep diving into things with it, that, you know, it's more specific, because it can give you better answers if you do that. Now, in some cases, it might take you longer, so don't be shocked. Okay, we'll see some of these things. Let's go ahead and look at the shared screen. You should be able to see my my desktop here, my laptop. So there's a new tool I want you to think about. It's called the Prompt Playground. I use it all the time. And this is a very specific one that is really tied to professional, personas. And, you know, if I want to get a specific prompt about a certain field or a certain, type of market or industry, then you can get pretty specific with those. But we're not going to use that in this case. We're just going to use the general one. But one of the things that it does is it allows you and it explains to you how to continue to improve your prompting. And, you know, it shows you and it tells you why. And so we're going to show you, we're going to do some general prompts real quick, and we'll explore the responses that you get from just a basic one versus something that is a lot more specific. Okay, so we're going to Claude's on top and GPT-5's on the bottom. That's not a rank order. I don't want any emails about a rank order about things. That's just how it fit in the context of my window. So let's go ahead and we'll get the mouse up there. We're going to start with some basic stuff, normal things, business plans, right? We always deep dive into business plans, but let's focus a little bit more on the financial side of the house of a business plan. So let's just say, can you explain the financial? Okay, I'm going to get emails already. Financial impact of having a business plan with no AI integrated into it. Oh, big topic. We always talk about this, right? So we're going to do this real quick. We'll drop it in both of them. Now, right now, just so y'all see, we are in the auto. We're not going to, we'll keep it on auto for a little bit. And then we'll start to show some differences. Let's do the instant. I want to do the instant. And then that would kind of be cheating if I use Sonnet 4.5. So let's come here and we'll use Opus for that. Opus is another model. It's great at, at certain things. But again, differences in the models, different performance, right? And so let's get this started over here on Opus. And then we will get moving on. Maybe looks like my things have frozen. There we go. That's good enough. We'll get moving on that, and we'll get going on Claude. Maybe. Boy. Well, Claude is not happy today with let me try to expand it and see if, here, let me just refresh. Sometimes it does that. All right, let's try it again. Boy, Claude was working a few minutes ago. Let's try. Maybe we'll go back to Sonnet. It is not. Let's go into ghost mode then, and we'll try. We'll do some incognito stuff, and we'll mix it up like we always do, right? We try to get things going, and sometimes it just doesn't work out for us. So we'll just, Surprising, Claude is not, I can't even click the, there we go. I guess it just wasn't in the right spot sometimes, all right? And so I'll shrink this back up. Now, what we're going to do is I'm going to bring this over here to the prompt playground, though, too, because I know that's not a great prompt. We know that, right? We're just trying to do something live. We're going to bring it over here, and you're going to see it scores it for us. The context is pretty awful, and we want to optimize it anyway, so we're just going to optimize the prompt, and we'll see what it comes back with. And, in that amount of time, though, you can see that we've gotten an awful lot of information already. you know, talks about the financial gaps, you know, the competitive disadvantages that are out there. You know, our typical solid response that we always get from Claude, it's usually pretty solid when it comes to certain things. Now, again, as the context window has increased, that also means its responses are bigger. Okay. I've seen folks online that have talked about, right, you know, Claude would write a 55 page book about something or a user guide about something. The great thing is that you've got more flexibility with this, and it will generally pay attention to you, right? And so using the instant mechanism, you can see, okay, don't have AI in there, general answers, not very specific, right? And this is what a lot of folks have been complaining about, is that they put in a general prompt or something that they think is pretty decent, and the responses that they get back are just not that solid. And it's a lot of times it's because you're using the instant model and your prompt's not very good, right? Because think about it, general model with speed, general prompt, you know, when you combine them, general answer, you're not going to get a lot out of that. And you can see that it's talking about some things, it's giving you some round numbers, pretty much the same sort of things that Claude was giving, just not quite as detailed. And we definitely expected that because we used a different version of the two. So now what we're going to do is, you know, I know I have to improve it. I know I have to get some more specific. I don't want to spend 20 minutes trying to optimize it. And so, you know, I just had the playground optimize it. And so it gives you an optimized prompt that you have now. You can look at it, you can copy and paste it, and that we will do. We're going to copy it. We're going to bring it over here. We're going to try to increase the accuracy and the information that we're getting out of it, because it's going to do it's going to be significantly better in this case. And I'm going to do it for both of them so you can see, and we'll keep the models the same. Actually, you know what, let's change it up. Let's go to let's make ChatGPT think a little bit more. It's more on the level of Claude 4.5 anyway, so let's go ahead and do that. We're going to launch this one. And we will launch this one, of course. And now what you can see is both of them are taking a little bit longer. They're thinking, they're analyzing, they're going through those things. And while we have that time, over in the prompt playground, you can see, you know, here's the improvements that it made and why it made them. Added clearer structure, more specific on exact financial, you know, aspects. And you can tailor these however you want when you cut and paste them back in, right? But, you know, additional dimensions around contrast and those kind of things. And it's telling you all of these, and it tells you what your new score is for your brand new prompt. And so our answers should be significantly better than they were. But then also, it's going to tell you specifically why your prompt wasn't very good. And ours is too broad, of course. We knew that. It's ambitious, of course. And guess what? It says it's going to result in general theoretical responses. And that's exactly what we got from both of them. And I didn't have to put a lot of work into that trying to come up with a newer one. So, you know, just for fun, that's great. But let's think about improving it again, because we strive for perfection with prompting, right? There's no such thing. We all know that, but it's fun to say. We're going to optimize it again. Let's come look at the responses, though, because you could tell it's taking a little bit longer. It's thinking a little bit harder, and that's a good thing. So we've looked at it. Here's the research. Now, in this case, it's detailing really what it was thinking. That's what I like about the new version of Claude. It's very easy to track that and see exactly what it's thinking, kind of, you know, it's computer reasoning. Let's just say that. Things that it's trying to get answers for, the type of data, and then it'll map out what your response is going to be. That's what makes it so great at coding, right? Because from a coding perspective, you know, if it has a to-do list and it follows the to-do list, it's going to do pretty reasonable most of the time. If it doesn't, well, you're not quite sure what's going to happen. And so in this case, Claude gave, good answers based on its reasoning. And you start to see significantly more details about labor costs, inefficiencies, processing time. I'm going to blow this up so we can see a little bit more detail with this. Your competitive disadvantages. It is going much, much deeper into what those impacts are going to look like. And then it's giving you good links for it. It's giving you industry specific competitive disadvantages. You're looking at all the the different impacts of what that can have on you in the different segments, much, much, much more usable, right? And that's important. And it's going to save you time. It's going to help you improve your prompts as you go along. But you can see that better prompts, like we always say, are, give better results. And in this case, with both of them, it's going to be significantly better because of the metrics and everything else. And so let's go down here and we'll look at GPT-5 response, the thinking response. Now, again, remember, Claude, steady, very consistent when it comes to these types of answers. With GPT-5, you're going to see a significant difference between the default answer as well as the thinking model, because one, it's just taking a lot longer to think about it and pull together what that response is. Now, again, if you click on some of these things, you'll be able to see its sources. You'll be able to see its thinking. You'll be able to see what it's trying to do for you. So don't forget to click on those if you're curious, because it does the exact same thing that Claude was doing, but now you've got more detail. You've got to understand what it's, where it's coming from and how it's using that information. A lot of people forget that that's there, so use it. And in this case, though, the structure completely different in how it's responding to what we asked it for. The math that it is coming up with, it's calling it, illustrative math. That's great, right? Very good when it comes to, the additional details. And it's, again, it goes into financial impacts, long-term and short-term, industry specifics. Now, its industry specifics are a little bit different than what Claude's were, which is great because, we've got perspective. We've got two perspectives now again, right? And that's all we're trying to do. And it keeps driving down through, and now it's starting to talk about missed opportunities. And you can see, and you're like, oh, wait a minute. Now there's a chart, and the responses are getting much, much larger. Okay. So we're going to break here. I want you to think about, what impact does that have on you and how you're going to change what your prompting style list look like and what kind of information are you going to ask it, because there's some nuances and some more surprises ahead. So stay with us. We'll be right back after the short break. Welcome back to AI Today. In the last segment, I showed you how you can use a tool like Prompt Playground, improve your prompts, and get better answers out of these new models, because fundamentally, the better your prompts are, like we've always said, the better your responses that you get from these models are going to be. But in this case, these new models, you really have to get more specific. You've got to have a prompt that is detailed, that is very solid, and otherwise you're just going to get more general stuff. It's using more and more data. If you think about it, it's using more and more data to get better answers. But man, if you give a general, boil the ocean prompt, it's going to give you a general boil the ocean response now. And that means that you have to continue to adapt, right? You've got to get better with how you're prompting. You've got to get better at what you're doing. And so I wanted to show you one more time. We took the previous prompt and we improved it. We did it again, right? We want to optimize the prompt again. I'm going to do that one more time. This is the old scores from the previous one. We want to optimize it one more time, see what it does. And try to show you one more level of improvement is, what we're trying to do. Now again, it's going to be up to you how detailed you want to get, how much. Oh, it didn't improve very much at all with this, probably because it's pretty, this is the old prompt. Well, I don't know what I'm talking about. Here we go. Here's the new prompt. Now look at how much more detailed this prompt is. I bet you're thinking, holy cow, I got to get that detailed with these new models. Yes, you do. I have prompts in some cases that are almost a page long, trying to get it to do exactly what I want it to do. And this kind of detail becomes very important. Now, you're starting to say, well, geez, it's going to take me almost as long to generate a prompt as it would for me to do it myself. Well, in some cases, maybe, if you get it right. But using something like the prompt playground, you don't have to worry about that. But again, it tells you the improvements that it made, why it did that, what its new scores are. See, we stayed about clarity scores, stayed at about 65. We went up for specificity, and then our context improved pretty well. So, you know, that's not bad. But let's put them in here one more time. I want to show you guys one more time what happens. We'll put it in Sonnet. We've got it in thinking mode. Pro mode, it's going to take too long if I logged in with my other account. Something like this, it will probably take, you know, 10 to 15 minutes. That's not good TV. You guys wouldn't like that. So we'll drop it into thinking mode again and go from there. Now, again, I think there are some additional settings. Don't forget to look around and play. We're going to do extended just for fun, and we're going to drop this in. Now, when Claude separates and has your prompt on one side and it's got the response on the other, there's two reasons it's doing that. One, it's because you got everything crammed in there. Two, second reason is it's getting ready to give you a long response, and we're going to just let it go. Because I always enjoy watching Claude go to work, because, oh, we're on the second chapter already. Now, again, down here with GPT-5, it's thinking, it's going through. I'm curious to see how long this is going to take. I'm going to drop my playground, and I'm going to bring this over so we can expand this a little bit, and everybody can see a little bit more detail of how things are starting to shake out, because it's going to be very, very important. If you go in with expectations of using something that is quick and you start to get a slow response, what's the first thing you say? It's broken. It doesn't work. It's not doing this. It's not doing that. The days of immediate prompting and immediate response are really over. If you want accuracy, if you want some consistency, if you put in a big prompt and you want a great answer, then, you know, the reality is the default model is not the best model for you. It will give you quick things. There's nothing wrong with still using it for quick, you know, less important types of activities. But if you really want to deep dive into something and you really want to be, you know, blown away by the response that you get back from either of these models, then it takes some time. Now, how much time though? I don't know. It ranges. And you can see, at least we don't want to skip it. I'm going to let it just go. At least it's going and it's thinking through things. It's percolating, right? It's saying, okay, you know, I'm going to look at all these things, and here we go. So it took 2 minutes and 6 seconds for a response. That is an eternity for some people, okay? But these new ones, it takes time. You know, it just goes through. And look, our friend Claude is still responding over here. Now, we'll flip through it and we'll get some more information, because there's some points I want to show you that I think you'll be able to use as we expand and we start to look at how am I going to use these newer models for my business and stuff, because that's where the magic is really going to happen. So again, the consistency and the response between GPT-5 and, you know, the thinking model with the extended thinking that I put on it versus the GPT-5 and thinking model, the normal one, again, differences. Not huge this time. It's not like going from the default to the thinking model, but there are still some differences in what that looks like. And that becomes important as you're having it do things like write papers, or you know, even double check your work, for example, or look at how you can respond to proposals or emails or whatever that is going to be like. You know, there's some things that you'll have to make sure that you're paying attention to. Otherwise, it'll just continue to sneak it in. So again, the response, though, much more detailed. And you can see that in this case, let's go back up to, let's go to Claude at the beginning. Give me about, oh my goodness, 3 minutes. the responses, though, for the thinking model versus with Claude and the, well, the thinking model with GPT-5 and with Claude Sonnet 4.5 are starting to get a little bit closer even, right? Even to the point their headings are starting to get a little bit more accurate. Now, some of that, we drove that from that massive prompt that we put into it, right? We are much more specific in the answers, the formats that we want, the information we want it to contain, all of those things. We have tried to drive it, okay? Less general, more specific, more accuracy, more information, better information. That's why these prompts are so important. The better that you get at prompting, the more that you will get out of these new models, okay? That's the bottom line. But you can see direct revenues. Now, Claude decides that it's going to give you a couple of more examples with that, which is great. You're looking at, you know, a whole bunch of different information. Now, in this case, though, again, with GPT-5, it's giving you similar information, different formats. That's okay. Not quite as many examples, but then deep diving into the information. And over here with Claude, it's giving you specific examples that you may or may not have asked for, but it's trying. However, when you start looking at its, you know, responses specifically toward what you were asking it for, it groups them a lot different. And, you know, there's good parts about that, bad parts about that. But that doesn't mean that either one is wrong. It doesn't mean that, you know, the information is good, but it's fundamentally, though, you know, you've got to just be prepared on what you're going to get. And the important thing about that is, you know, the newer versions, and we'll look at a couple examples in the next segment, but the different versions, the different, you know, the ability to interact with your data and to interact with the information significantly improves with these new models, and the speed that you can do some of these things. I am not a huge, you know, I'm not an Excel wizard. Okay, I know enough to use it. I know about the formulas. I know about the macros. I can do some of those things, but there are some wizards out there. I am not a wizard. With these two, now I am, and it's pretty impressive. Now let's get to a couple other things. So if you look at, you know, GPT-5, it's really, you know, standard template. You know, it's got your retail info, you know, it's got your main headings, it's got your subheadings, and it gives you some bullets underneath it. That's good. Nothing wrong with that, right? It goes into the markets, goes into the industries, goes into the missed revenues. That's great. You know, pretty much what we were looking for. It did drop in a table. Okay. Now, the neat thing about the tables are they've improved so much. Remember, just a couple of weeks ago, you'd cut and paste the table from Claude into Word or into a PowerPoint, and it was just messed up. And you almost think, oh, geez, it's easier to cut and paste, and then I'll just format it the way that I need to. I'm not going to worry about it. Not anymore. Big, big, big improvements in both of these models. And, you know, I'll show you with Claude, and Claude is continuing to give examples everywhere. Nothing wrong with that, though, but a lot of examples. Some are important, some are not. This is one of the areas where Claude, you've got to be careful for, because whether it's coding, whether it's asking it to do something like this, whether it's you're wanting it to look at research, and we'll do some research here in a minute too, because I want to show you some things like that are going to be really beneficial. But it's a lot of information, and we're only on chapter 2. I bet if I cut, let's do it. Why not? Let's see. I'm going to cut, beat and paste. Let me get a Word document open. I love doing these things in real time. I love showing you guys sometimes things that bother me, and I get worried about it. And I'm curious in this case. I want to see just how big this response is, because it seems like it's pretty massive. So I just cut and pasted it. Now look at the formats. Formats are so much improved. Oh, thank you. You know, the tables actually look pretty decent. And if you notice, they're real tables. Okay. It didn't blast them somewhere else. So if you want to come in and you want to format them, or you want to do anything like that, you can look at that. Huge difference, huge time-saving difference. And pretty good. Now we are at 13 pages. 13 pages it generated. Not bad. Very, very detailed, very example oriented. I don't remember in my prompt saying that I wanted quite so many examples and quite so much information, but that's okay, because there's ways that we can fix that. Now let's do the same thing with GPT-5. It's not fair if I only do it to Claude and I don't do it to GPT-5, because somebody will write in and they'll say that, you know, oh, you didn't cut and paste it in, and so you like Claude better. No, I love both of them, quite honestly. They're good at different things, okay? So let's do this. I want to create let's insert a blank, you know, a page break, because I don't want anybody to, and let's put in GPT-5. So the response that we got from GPT-5 is pretty much 5 pages. So we got 5 pages response from GPT-5, and we got 13 pages from Claude. Now, ask yourself, which one's better? If you only are going to base it on the size, then of course Claude would be, you know, much better, because, oh, it's got to be twice as good because they gave me twice as much information. No, it doesn't work that way, right? It would work that way potentially if we were benchmarking something and there's a Word cut and paste, who can get the most out of it type, you know, scenario. It doesn't work that way. If you are not interested in half of the stuff that Claude gave you, it's a lesson learned, right? And it's a lesson learned because maybe we weren't quite specific enough. Maybe we needed to detail, you know, some additional information. Maybe we just needed to tell it, don't give us so many darn examples. Because that's gonna dictate a lot of times, again, how specific you get with your prompt. It's going to be important. Now, a trick, though, for you all to see, because the great thing about these newer models, they really let you start to fine tune your response while it's in there, because of its ability to hold the context and more information around that. With this, I'm going to say, and we'll say the same thing with both. Well, no, we'll shift it because we almost have to go to our next break. But I'm going to say real quick, I'm going to say, I want you to include one specific example related to, and I'm only going to do this for the retail e-commerce, because that's the one I see, to retail/e-commerce. Oop, not Dommers, commerce. But keep the information and formats exactly the same in the new response. Okay, we're going to drop that in. Now, over here with Claude, we're going to do something quite similar, but we're going to just say, I only want you to include one specific example from retail and e-commerce, but keep the information exactly the same. So this is a challenge. We're going to challenge it to see how much information it's going to rewrite. Because remember the old models, you get a completely different format half the time, completely different information, rearranged, turned upside down, that kind of stuff. We're gonna shift that a little bit, and we're going to take a look at it, and we'll see what happens. So we'll look at that after the break. Stay with us, though. We'll be back after some quick messages from our sponsors.
And welcome back to AI Today. We have been exploring the new models with ChatGPT 5 and with Claude 4.5. We've been trying to compare and see which one is going to give us the better result, is a little bit more tailorable. We can interact with it, all based on how our prompts are doing. You saw the detail that I put in there using the prompt playground that I have to really hone in on the message and the information that I want to, to get and the response that I received back from, these two models. And now both of them are thinking models, right? Both of them are pretty good. Context wise from how many, the token size and stuff. And so if you remember before the break, I said, we did a cut and paste. You saw in the Word document that Claude produced a 13 and a half page response. GPT-5 produced one that was about 5 pages. It's pretty good. Both of them, pretty good. Just depends on what you're looking for. Now, going into the break, I said, just give me one example. And I told it one example for both of them. With GPT-5, I said, I want you to include one example for retail and e-commerce. And with Claude, I said, I want you to include just one example. And, remember before, if you would try to do something like that before, you would get a completely different response. It would have one example maybe, but if there were certain pieces that you really wanted to get out of it, then forget it, because it would just go all over the place. And you also saw how I was able to cut and paste the whole response, and they give you real tables. That's just the start. So, all right. So, just really quick, we asked it specific to do those examples. Let's see if GPT-5 put the example in that I wanted and where it would put the example, quite honestly. All right, so it didn't specifically call out the example in this case. Let's see what it did in Claude, see how it handled its responses. Well, we can already see that in both cases, it did not do great. I told it I only wanted one example, and what it gave me was a lot of examples, right? Now, is it because my prompt wasn't as specific? Maybe. Is it because I didn't include the first prompt? Maybe. Is it also because maybe it just wasn't listening? Because sometimes I feel that way. You're talking to it, you're asking it to do things, and it just doesn't seem to listen. But in this case, since both of them didn't really listen very well, it was probably my prompt. It's kind of the reasoning you've got to go through. And that balance between what you do prompt-wise, what you have to re-include, should I have taken the initial prompt and added more specificity to it, more context to it, make a bigger prompt, maybe? Or should it have remembered the original prompt and then let me do it with this? And again, it's a maybe. Why? Because these models, again, behave different. And, we will continue to explore in part two of our show, deep diving into these new models and how they behave and the responses that they give and the prompts that you should use and how you shouldn't use it. But you could see, one, there is a significant difference in the response that you get from the fast model to the thinking model and the extended thinking model in GPT-5. That's very clear. The time it takes, though, is a little bit longer. So on demand is not necessarily the case anymore. With Claude, you saw a significant improvement in the quality and the stability of what that response looks like with the larger prompt that I used. However, gave us 13 and a half pages. So maybe it was a little too robust with its response. And so there's a give and take with these models. Cost, complexity, prompt, and how specific your prompt actually has to be, that sub part of the prompt where you've really got to start to improve on them. That's going to drive what your responses are. So I want you to stay with us. Well, I guess you can't stay with us because, you know, this is the end of this segment. This is the end of the show for this week. But next week when we come back, we're going to deep dive and continue to look at new prompting, new things that these models can do. And we're going to continue to show you how you evolve and how you'll be able to use them a lot more, for harder things in your business and start to solve some real problems that you have. So thank you for being here. We'll see you next week. And again, keep playing, keep taking that first step because you're not going to hurt anything. So just keep trying. So with that, we'll see you next week.